The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We should not think that the test of Karbala was an easy test. That would be a disservice to us ourselves to tell us that, oh, it was just a walk in the park. They did the right thing. They saw the imam. No, it was an incredible test. The one thing that we can say about the companions is this. Their faith was incredibly strong. The faith that they had that enabled them to pass that test had some conditions. The first condition is that we have to have what's called intellectual conviction. Question, is intellectual conviction, is that enough? That once you have that, then definitely you're in the camp of Imam Hussein, now you can go, now you can fight? Actually, no. I want to tell you a story about one of the companions of Imam Hussein. You can look him up later. Dhahak bin Abdullah. Dhahak bin Abdullah. Dhahak bin Abdullah, brothers and sisters, is one of the people who narrated the advents of Karbala for us. He was there in the tent. His story is that he came, he met the imam asked him for help, and from the beginning, Dhahak said, I've got a condition. I don't know if we're going to win this one. I've got a condition. He said that I will fight for you as long as I am beneficial for you. And the imam accepted. The imam's trying to save everybody. He brought the hawk in. The hawk was there when they started the battle. He was there, and then the numbers of the companions started to get reduced. The hawk says this, I noticed the enemy was deliberately trying to hamstring the horses of the imam. He said that I went and I took my horse and I put him in one of the tents. The numbers got to reduce. He describes this. He says, I was out there. I was fighting. The imam was praying for me. I was in Karbala. I was killing people. The imam was making dua, encouraging me to fight. He says, until I noticed the numbers start to get reduced, there's only a few of us left. We're not going to make it. He said, I told the imam, we had a deal. The imam said, a deal is a deal. The imam said, how are you going to escape now? And this man was so shameless. He told the imam, he said, well, I hid my horse in one of the tents. The imam said, it's halal for you, go. The hawk went, got his horse, and ran out of Karbala. They chased him, he made it, he survived. He's one of the people who told us this story. So brothers and sisters, just having intellectual conviction, being certain Imam Ali is the first imam, knowing, even going to the field of Karbala, that's not a guarantee. What else do we need? There are other conditions when it comes to faith in Islam. Needed conditions in order for us to have this faith, which is Ashura'i. The second condition that we have to have is the condition of acting on what we know. We're supposed to act on what we know. This is how Islam is separate from other religions. In Islam, it's not just mental acrobatics. It's not just believe and then you're saved. It's not like our Christian brothers and sisters who say that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're saved. We don't say as believers, Imam Hussein died so I can live the life of Yazid. Rather, there's expectations that come with faith. If I've been intellectually convinced, If I believe this is God's book, then after that, there are certain things that Allah wants me to do. Islam is very clear about that. What are those things that Islam wants me to do? In some of the verses of Quran, Allah just prints out the principle that obey Allah and the messenger in kuntum mu'mineen. Obey Allah and the messenger if you are believers. Obedience is expected to be part of that faith. Someone who knows has to act. Someone who's understood, this is what Islam says, the expectation is that I will act on those things that I'm taught. Remember, brothers and sisters, these are building blocks. We're trying to go somewhere. We want to be in a different place after these majalis than we are when we first came. In order to do that, we've got to understand where we're going without skipping steps. In Islam, if you know you're expected to act, there's no free pass. There's no getting around it. God expects us to act on what we know. The idea is in Islam that once I know, remember those things I mentioned before, God is my creator. He's the legislator. He knows me. He receives no benefit from the laws that he makes. I'm the one who receives benefits. God is wise. If those things, those building blocks are there, the natural expectation is that now I'm going to act. But you see, there's something else too. Even just having the intellectual conviction, even just knowing that I'm going to act, is that enough to make my faith al-shura'i, to be able to pass the ultimate test? Unfortunately, no. There's another condition. This condition is what separates the men from the boys. This will help us to recognize, am I a ritualist Muslim? Or I'm a Muslim who's moving at least in the direction of Imam Hussein. If I don't have this, the ayat of the Quran, I'm not a mu'min. I'm not a mu'min. Let me give you a little bit about that. But let me explain what it is first and then show you the words of Imam Hussein. So what happens was, in order for me to be a real Muslim, Islam is a package deal. I don't get to pick and choose with Islam. I don't get to have my favorite parts of Islam. All of Islam. Whatever God says. However God says it. That is what's required for me as a Muslim. 3 days before the Imam began his journey, he spoke to his companions. He gathered them and gave a short khutbah. The Imam said this, Alhamdulillah, wa ma shaa Allah, wa la quwwata illa billah. And then he wrote, and we've heard this, he said that death is written for the children of Adam like the necklace on the neck of a young girl. And he explained how he longed to meet his forefathers. And he told them, he said, it's as if I see my flesh being ripped apart by those wolves over in that place called Karbala. He explained how he was pleased with Allah's decree. And then he said something that you and I, as people who are waiting for the Imam, we have to hear. He said this, Man kana badhilan fina muhjatahu. Whoever is ready to give their blood in our way. And you and I, let's think about this. Because we're waiting for a living imam. Are we waiting for that knock on the door where the imam calls and then suddenly my job, what I was doing, my family, my friends, all of that is out the door. Everything is what the imam wants. Take my life. The imam said, whoever is ready to have his blood shed in our way and has mentally prepared themselves to meet God, this person should leave with us. He said, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. There wasn't any time for the believers even to think about it, to understand what's happening. Everything is right now. The Imam expects us to be ready to leave everything and sacrifice everything at the drop of a hat. Now, brothers and sisters, that's the end of my part that I want to share today. But I want to talk a little bit before we go to the Masaib about the second and very important part of the program. The important part of the program, brothers and sisters, is in addition to us getting the intellectual content, to make sure that emotionally our hearts are ready to serve the cause. The effect of the tears for the Ahlul Bayt have been underestimated. What they do for us spiritually, coming, gathering, crying, being around with others, the effect that they have for us is incredible. This is what Imam Sadiq says about this. He says, إِنَّهُ لَيَرَى مَنْ يَبْكِي. Imam Hussein sees whoever cries for him. If you have the tawfiq of crying for Imam Hussein, the Imam says this, فَيَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ. The Imam, meaning Imam Hussein, will make istighfar for you, out of rahmah for you. And then after that, Imam Hussein is generous. He doesn't just make istighfar for you, he calls on his forefathers to also pray for you.
Swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.